Okay, this is kind of a part two teaching on the kings. So if you do have the little things that I gave you, they're kind of a great resource. I was actually, when I was preparing for this teaching, I used this quite a bit because it's awesome on the showing the prophets to the countries and whatnot. It's an excellent resource on there. So it shows the time frames of what took place. So I have one of them on here. I'll kind of go through this here. So start off with... All right. Walked in the Ways of David, part two. So anybody remember the kings? Anyone? Remember the three kings of Judah?
Hezekiah,
walked in the ways of David, yeah.
Josiah.
Jehoshaphat.
He gets the honorable mention, which is, you know, probably a fourth, but... Okay, so we did these two last week. We're going to do these two here this week. Hezekiah and Josiah. All right, so Hezekiah is Yahweh is my strength. 25 years old when he became king of Judah, and 29 years reigned he over Judah. So when you look on this sheet here, let's go to it real quick. I think it's the next sheet, the next one here. And it's probably kind of hard to see. I'm sorry, my screen is so blue. But if you look on there, okay, you'll see Hezekiah here, okay? And what's taking place in Israel during his reign?
They're carried away.
That's right. They're being carried away by who?
The Assyrians.
Okay, and it's important to know this. It's important to realize what's happening because what is happening in Israel comes against Judah and vice versa. It's they look at them as a people. These are the Israelites or the Hebrews. Okay, so they're coming against as well. So the Assyrian captivity is taking place during the time of Hezekiah. So it's kind of important to know that because it kind of lays a position. You also see the prophets underneath there for Judah are Micah and Isaiah are two of them that are listed. Hosea was for Israel. Okay, but this is what you're seeing on this sheet here. And we're going to get started off on here. So let's flip over to 2 Kings 18, and we will do Hezekiah. So that's going to be on page about 401-ish. I pulled this over here because I do have a little bit of reading, and so I'll ask people to read with me here. But we're going to go through there for Hezekiah. To start with, everybody there?
Yeah.
401, okay, and I'm going to start off here. And it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and 29 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abi, daughter of Zechariah, and he did that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and break in pieces the pillars and cut down the sacred stem and beat in pieces the serpents of bronze that Moses made because until those days had the sons of Israel been burning incense thereunto. So he called it Nehushtan. And I did a little teaching on this a while back ago. And that was, remember the serpents that were getting bit. And so Moses made this, directed for them to be healed from this. Problem was, is the people now were worshiping this, okay? It was no different. When I was in Crete, there was these catacombs that all these Christians hid in. And there's a tree, and they say that this tree's been there since that time. Now, I have no idea, but people hang their clothes in there. And they write prayers and hang it up on this tree, and they're praying to this tree. Because this tree basically was, when it was in full bloom, would hide the entrance to it. And so now they're worshiping this tree. And I'm like, going, okay, you're missing the point. This is the same thing. So this pillar is now... They've been carrying this pillar around since that time of Moses and worshiping it. He's like, okay, there's a problem here. And so he's very good with that. Okay, verse 5. In Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, did he trust, so that after him was none like him among the other kings of Judah, nor that were before him, and he did cleave unto Yahweh. And to pay attention to this is kind of neat, because you're going to see almost verbatim the same thing when we talk about Josiah. Okay? Same thing. And he did cleave unto Yahweh. He turned not away from the following him, but kept his commandments, which Yahweh commanded Moses. So Yahweh was with him, whithersoever He went forth, he prospered, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. He smote the Philistines as far as Gaza and her boundaries, from the watchman's tower, even under the fortified cities. And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, the same was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Eliah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and laid siege against it and captured it to the end. Captured it at the end of 3 years. In the 6 years of Hezekiah, the same as the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, was Samaria captured. Okay, this is where we're talking about. When I showed you that, this is the capture that took place in the northern. Now, on here, you remember from the other teachings that there were tributes and stuff that were paid by other predecessors of Judah, basically as, you know, we'll partner with you, we'll keep you from attacking us, we're going to make tribute to you to wicked countries. And it did not work out well. And so he's standing against it on this time. He's standing against it. Okay, let me see here. We are 11. Verse 11 now. Okay, so the king of Assyria drove away Israel to Assyria and settled them in Hala in the harbor of the river of Gozan in the mountains of Media. Because they hearkened not unto the voice of Yahweh their Elohim, but transgressed his covenant, all that Moses had the servant of Yahweh commanded, they neither hearkened nor performed. Okay? This is the north. This is during Hezekiah. They're all being carried away. All the people that basically were their family, but had separated and done their own thing. Remember, there were no righteous kings in Israel. Okay? There were none. Only Judah had the righteous kings. So after the death, I'm going to kind of, so we don't have to read the whole thing, I'm going to jump around here. After the death of Sargon and the ascension of his son, Sennacherib to the throne of Assyria. Okay, so a new guy comes in. Hezekiah refused to pay the tribute which his father had paid and rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not, but entered into a league with Egypt. Okay, so you have to realize that they are surrounded, just like they are today. They're surrounded by wicked entities. And so they made a pact basically with Egypt and, did not pay the tribute to Assyria. Okay? And so I'm going to go through here and read this here. This is from Isaiah, but actually, why don't one of you kids read two and then another kid read two? Go ahead and start over here. You read the first two if you can.
Okay. Alas, for sons who are rebellious, declareth Yahweh, executing a purpose, but not from me, as pouring out a libation, but not from my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who are setting out to go down to Egypt, but at my mouth have not asked, betaking them in the protection of Pharaoh, and seeking refuge under the shadow of Egypt.
Okay, go ahead, you read to that, Sudan.
Yeah. Therefore shall the protection of Pharaoh become to you a shame, and the refuge in the shadow of Egypt an insult. But the Egyptians and vanity and emptiness would help. Therefore have I proclaimed concerning this insolent, they sit still.
That's it. Go ahead. You read to them.
That it is a rebellious people, sons apt at deceiving, sons unwilling to hear the law of Yahweh, who have said to the seers, ye must not see, to the prophets, ye must not prophesy to us reproofs, speak to us smooth things, prophesy delusions.
Yeah, that's it. And so who hasn't ever had to put up with that in verse 10, okay, where they're telling you that, they're telling the seers, okay, we don't want you to see, okay, and to the prophets, don't prophesy to us anything bad, only speak to us the smooth things, the good things you want to hear, prophesy delusions. And so we see that all the time. It's nothing different, and this is it. And so guess what? If the Israelites would have heeded some of this earlier, might have changed a little bit of that outcome for them. Okay? Same thing for Judah eventually, but this is what happens with this. So let's continue into our story. And Melania, I'll let you read 13 through 16 now of 18. So starting in verse 13.
In the 14th year of Hezekiah came up Sennacherib, king of Assyria, against all the fortified cities of Judah, and took them. Then sent Hezekiah, king of Judah, unto the Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have sinned. Return from me what thou hast laid upon me, I will bear. So the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah king of Judah 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah delivered up all the silver that was was found in the house of Yahweh and in the treasuries of the house of the king. At the time, Hezekiah cut off the doors of the temple of Yahweh and columns, which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave them unto the king of the Assyrian.
Okay, so here's the thing. Good point. Hezekiah went against, did not pay the tribute. In other words, this was the ransom. You know, it's no different than a bully. Give me your milk money and I won't beat you up.
No.
I'm going to beat you up. Okay, how much do I owe you? Okay, this is basically what we're seeing was happening. This is the amount, okay? Now, if you look up the talent, it shows anywhere from, depending on where it is, between about 50 to 75 pounds, okay? 300 talents of silver would equal between 15,000 to 22,500 pounds of silver, okay? Talents of gold is between 1,500 to 2,500 pounds of gold. This is no small token. This is huge, absolutely huge. And it is paid. And on top of that, he's like, hey, sorry, dude, I'm repenting for not doing this. So not a good thing. And so he's going, now he's paid, and they're actually breaking into taking the money from the temple and parts of it, as a matter of fact, as well, to go with this. And so this is it. So he dealt treacherously with Hezekiah and came against him a second time. So first time came in, took these cities, and he comes back in. After this. So just like the bully, you give the milk money, and what happens? They come back the next day for it. Well, where's my... Wait a minute, I gave it to you yesterday. Yep, and I'm here for it today, too. He came back a second time as well. So let's go here, and I'll read this, 18:17 now, verse 17 through 35. And the king of Assyria went to Tartan, and Rabsaria, and Rabshaka, and Lachish unto King Hezekiah with a heavy force to Jerusalem. So they came up and drew near Jerusalem, and took their stand by the upper channel of the pool, which is in the highway of the Fuller's Field. Then called they for the king, and there went out of them Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joash, son of Asaph the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, pray ye, say unto Hezekiah, thus saith the great king of the king of Assyria. What trust? Now here it is. Here's the guy coming in here, the deceiver, to convince the people. So this is the intimidation factor now. Thus saith the great king, okay, what trust is this wherewith thou dost trust? Verse 20. Now thou hast said, they are only words of the lips, counsel and might have I for war. Now in whom dost thou trust that thou hast rebelled against me? Now, lo, thou dost trust thyself on the support of this bruised cane on Egypt, whereon the man, if a man lean, it will enter in his hand and lay it open. So he's talking about this being, you went to Egypt, even this guy's teasing him, you went to Egypt for your protection, and guess who didn't? Guess he's not there to help, okay? And will enter and lay his hand open, so the Pharaoh of Egypt and all who trust upon him. But if ye should say unto me, in Yahweh our Elohim do we trust. Now remember, this is this guy who is just total blasphemy, okay? This is not a prophet saying this. This is a guy who's coming against him. In Yahweh our Elohim do we trust. This is that, not he who in high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath removed and said unto Judah and unto the Jerusalem, before this altar shall ye bow down in Jerusalem. Now therefore pledge thyself, I pray thee, with my lord the king of Assyria, that I supply with thee 2,000 horses, if thou be on part, be able to get riders upon them. How then wilt thou turn back the face of our Pasha, of the least of my lord's servants? Or hast thou on thy part trusted to Egypt for the chariots and the horsemen? Isaiah, you want to read a couple of these here for me? Go 25 through 27.
Yeah. Now, is it without Yahweh that I have come up against the place to destroy it? Yahweh himself said unto me, go thou up against this land and destroy it. Then did son of Hezekiah, Hezekiah and Shebah, and Joah and Rabshakeh, speak, we pray thee, unto the servants in Syrian language, for we can understand it. And he did not speak with us in Jewish language, in the ears of the people who were upon the wall. But Rabshakeh him to them, "It is concerning thy Lord, concerning thee, that my Lord has sent me to speak these things. It is not concerning the men who are tearing upon the wall that they may eat their own dung and drink their own water with you."
Yeah, pretty gross. Okay, Esther, why don't you read 28 through 30 for me?
Okay. So then Rabbi Sackett took his stand and cried out with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, and said, "Hear ye the message of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, did not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah cause you trust in Yahweh, saying, Yahweh will surely deliver us. This city therefore shall not be given over into the hand of the king of Assyria."
Elijah, why don't you read a couple there? Why don't you read 31 and 32 and 33?
"Do not hearken unto Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, deal with me thankfully, and come out unto me. Then shall ye eat every one of his own vine, and every one of his own fig tree, and drink every one of the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you into the land like your own land, a land of corn and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil, olive, and honey. So shall you live and not die."
Hold there for a second. So here, above that, they told you that what you're going to eat is your own waste. Okay, if you listen to this. But here, I'll take you land that looks just like this. Okay, you're like going, well, why wouldn't I just want to stay here? You know, okay, but all the things, all the deceit, it'd be great. And so it's going to be flowing with milk and honey or whatever you want to say. This is what we're going to give to you if you come to us. Don't listen to this guy. Okay, he's just going to deceive you. Hezekiah will deceive you. Come with us, we'll do this. Go ahead, finish there in 32, the B part.
But do not hearken to Hezekiah, for he would persuade you, saying, Yahweh will deliver us. Can we read 32?
Yeah.
Have the Elohims of the nations at all delivered any of them his country out of the hand of the king of Assyria?
So it looks like what he's doing is he's trying to call his winning record. Hey, nobody's beat the king of Assyria yet. Who do you think you are that you can do this? Melania, why don't you read 34 and 35 for me, please?
All right. Where are the gods of
Hamath
and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hinnom, and Iva? Yet did they deliver Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of my hand? That Yahweh should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand.
That's it. That's exactly it. And so when you're referring to that Samaria, basically, I just took your neighbors, okay? I just took them. They didn't defeat me. Well, don't you have the same God? And so this is just all the things to break down their faith, to bust them down, and to try to convince them into deceit, okay? And this is, I'm going to read this here. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say unto your Lord, thus saith Yahweh, be not thou afraid because of the words which thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have reviled me. Behold me, about to let go against them a blast. And when he heard the report, then will he return to his own country, and will cause him to fall by sword in his own land. Okay? And so this is it. Now he's like going, okay, this is the word coming to us, and this is what Yahweh said that he would do. You guys know the story of this. We're going to kind of go over it a little bit. Let's go to 19. And we're going to jump all the way down to 32. Kind of save a little bit of time here. And I'll read this 32 through 35.
The tribute really reminds me of NATO. How much money we've been paying NATO.
Yeah.
And why are we paying NATO?
Yeah, for what?
Here's all these threats. Yeah. I mean, you have to pay us. Yeah. These are tributes.
Yeah, exactly. And it was. And so, and other countries would do it. They try to buy the favor, and it never worked out. And it would make Yahweh mad, because now you're leaning on that versus leaning on Yahweh. All right, 32. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not enter this city, nor shoot there an arrow. Now, he's got a big army. Anybody know how big his army was?
Very big.
nor shoot an arrow. Okay? Pretty big. Nor attack it with shield, nor cast up against it a mound. By the way that he cometh in, by the same shall he return, and into this city shall he not enter, declareth Yahweh. Thus will I throw a covering over the city to save it, for mine own sake, and for the sake of David my servant. And it came to pass that during the night that a messenger of Yahweh went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when the men arose early in the morning, lo, they were all dead bodies. Okay? This is incredible. This is it. And this is where like going, yeah, we're defeated. What else are we gonna do? We've got no money. We're, you know, you're terrorizing the people. We're trying to convince them to leave. And you come before, and this is what Yahweh says to them. And this is what he's gonna do. Okay, so let's go over here some of the lessons from Hezekiah, because again, great king, when we're looking at emulating and going over them, the king's a really good guy. Opened the doors of the temple and repaired them. Restored the Levites to hallow themselves and hallow the house of Yahweh's. Offered the sacrifices to Yahweh. Reinstated all the sacrifices and offerings in the service of Yahweh. Paid tribute to Assyrians. Sought help from Egyptians. But was after Yahweh, okay, and walked in the ways of David. And Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, did he trust, so that after him was none like him among the kings of Judah, nor that were before him. Okay, now, we're going to see, almost verbatim, when we go to Josiah, that last scripture there, okay, before him or after them. So something's unique between the two of them. Okay, something is very unique, where Hezekiah had something a little bit different than Josiah, because they both say that same thing, and we're going to see that. But this is where it's great. And so, to start with, to take apart that. So, if you guys, I don't know if you guys have this one here as well, and this is another great one that I refer to a lot. This is one that Chuck had. And it's this here. Okay, this sheet here, and I kind of highlighted that for my own purposes a while back ago. Green is good, orange not so good. Okay, and you see in between there, where you have up here at the top, Asa, Jehoshaphat. Okay, and then you have a long duration, you have some righteous ones, Hezekiah, and then you have in between. And so the years in between are important because of what's happened. You think about it within our country, in 30 years, what's happened with our country? Holy cow. I mean, I remember my mom took me to a prayer vigil outside the courthouse, the local courthouse, when the Supreme Court was in for abortion. Roe v. Wade. I remember that. I was a little kid. I had no idea. We're bored. I'm like going, ugh. But we're there. Everybody's praying for this. I think to myself, golly, that's in my lifetime that we've just gone in this direction. So you think of these guys here. They're doing, this is the same thing when you have that long periods in between. Okay, let's go to Josiah now, okay? Josiah, Yahweh will support, or foundation of Yahweh is basically what that comes out to be. 8 years old when he began to reign. Anybody here under eight? Now think about that. That's pretty cool. Yeah, we have one. One here. Okay, 31 years he reigned, coming off of 57 years of evil. Okay, Manasseh being 55 of that. Bad, bad guy. Okay, so yes, what happens in that? I'm not 57 years old. So where I see things have changed, this has gone just way haywire for evil, evil wickedness here. Alright, 2 Kings 22. So we're gonna flip a page over there, we're gonna go right into Josiah. And I'm going to read most of this because this is a big one. I'm trying to save some time on this. 22:8 through 23:3. So start down in verse 8 down there at the bottom of page 406. Then said Hilkiah the high priest unto Shaphan the scribe, the book of the law have I found in the house of Yahweh. Hey, okay? Wait a second. What's this mean? Nobody was accessing it. Nobody was going through. It was basically hidden. It was out of production, if you will. Out of circulation for a time. So Hilkiah delivered the book unto Shaphan, and he read it. Now this is kind of cool. Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan, okay? Then Shaphan the scribe. The scribe gets it, and I'm like, well, the scribe's like going, well, what's this? And he starts reading it. I'm like going, golly, what a heart after that. What is this? What the heck? So he starts going through this, brought the king word and said, the servants have poured out the silver that was found in the house and have delivered into the hand of the doers of the work who have the oversight of the house of Yahweh. Then Shaphan, the scribe, told the king, saying, "A book that Hilkiah the priest delivered unto me, and Shaphan read it before the king. Then it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes, and the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahiakim, son of Shaphan, and Achbor, son of Micaiah, and Shaphan and the scribe and Isaiah, the king's servants, saying, Go ye, inquire of Yahweh for me and for my people, that for all Judah concerning the words of this book, which hath been bound, for great is the wrath of Yahweh in it, that hath fired up against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according to which is written concerning us." So Hilkiah the priest and Ahiakim and Akbar and Shaphan and Isaiah went unto Huldah, the prophetess, wife of Shalom, son of Tikvav, son of Hara, son of the vestments, keeper of the vestments, she having her dwelling in Jerusalem, the new city, and they spake unto her. And she said unto them, "Thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, Say ye unto the man who hath sent you unto me, Thus saith Yahweh, Behold me, about to bring calamity upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, of the words of this book, which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and burnt incense unto their gods, that they might provoke me into anger with all the workmanship of their hands, so my wrath shall fire up against them, against this place, and shall not be quenched. But unto the king of Judah, who has sent you to inquire of Yahweh, thus shall you say unto him, Thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because tender was thy heart, and thou didst humble thyself before Yahweh, when thou heardest what I had spoken against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that it should become a desolation and a curse, and didn't rent his clothes and weep before me, therefore also I have hearkened, declareth Yahweh. For this cause, behold me, about to gather thee unto the fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto the graves, and the peace of thine eyes shall not look upon all the misfortune which I am about to bring up this place. And they brought the king the words again. And so I think about this, I'm going to have somebody read here for the Aaron, would you read 1-3, and then I'll go back to your notes.
Then the king sent, and there was gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and the king went up into the house of Yahweh, and the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears, probably not very politically correct, right? All the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of Yahweh. And the king took his stand by the pillar and solemnized the covenant before Yahweh to follow Yahweh and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul, to confirm the words of this covenant written in this book. And all the people took their stand in the covenant.
And that's excellent. And that's what we want. And so you think about this, and when the word came back that this place is a curse, and I think to myself, if it wasn't for him and going through and doing this, this probably would have been the kickoff of the captivity for them as well. And so guess what? By virtue of this, we know with Hezekiah, I kind of skipped over that, but we know with Hezekiah that the word came to him to prepare your house, you're sick, that you're going to die. And before the prophet even got through the courtyard, what did Hezekiah do? He came before and wept and sought after Yahweh, and the new word came in, you know, go back and tell him, okay, 15 more years. And so the same thing, that this is available, we get the warnings, but guess what? There's always, hey, change. If something comes up and changes it, then you're okay. We can change history by doing what's right today. Josiah, cleaning house. And so this is some of the cool things for it. I mean, I'm kind of skipping through these, but bringing forth out of the temple all the vessels that had been made for Baal, the sacred stem, and for the armies of heaven. Okay, there was all kinds of celestial stuff, things that they dedicated to stars and moons and junk like that. He put down the idol priests. Okay, these were people who were actually set for idols. Cast out the male devotees. Gross. Defiled the high places. Okay, went in there and they destroyed them. And what did they do with this? They turned these things into powder and poured them out over the graves. I mean, this was like, no, this is absolutely just horrible stuff, and we're going to get rid of it. Destroyed Tophath, so no man might cause his son or his daughter to pass through the fire unto Molech. okay, which happened under his predecessors. So, yes, horrible things, and he's like going, get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it. Wherever there is, Yahweh, show me the light. Shine it upon what is unpleasing, what is bad in your eyes, that we may cleanse it and get rid of it from this land. And so that's what his job was. That's what he went to do. He did away with the horses, which the kings of Judah had devoted to the sun. Broke down the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts in the house of Yahweh. Okay? And so even with this, right in and amongst it are things being built right there. Just why would you care? If you don't have any affiliation or you don't have any reverence or obedience to Yahweh, what does it matter if you do this in his house? Who cares? You don't have any reverence to it anyways. Remove them. Remove the high places were in the cities of Samaria. Okay? Where are we talking about? We're talking about his neighbors. Okay, not only did he keep this within their own borders, he reached out. You're part of this. And we're going to do this. We're going to cleanse these even farther out to get rid of it, which the kings of Israel had made. Okay? And so you see this, and it goes through there, that his job was like none other. You see where some of the other ones, where they went through and cleaned it? This guy did it with a vengeance. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Because this was hidden, and here's what happens. Because we lost the law of Yahweh, here's what took place. And so what gets it back? Knowing the law and then cleaning the land, cleansing everything from it. 2 Kings 23:21-25. Who would like to read this for me?
I will.
Okay, 21-25 on page 408, I think.
408.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then
did the king command all the people, saying, keep ye a Passover unto Yahweh your God, since as written in this book of the covenant, surely there had not been held such a Passover as this from the days of Judges, who judged Israel, nor all the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah, save only in the 18th year of King Josiah, when this Passover was held to Yahweh in Jerusalem. Moreover, also them who had familiar spirits, and the wizards, and the household gods, and the manufactured gods, and the abominations which were to be seen in the land of Judah and Jerusalem, Josiah consumed, that he might confirm the words of the law which were written in the book of that
Hilkiah,
the priest, had found in the house of Yahweh.
And 25.
And like him was no king before him, who turned to Yahweh with all his heart and all his soul and with all his might, according to the law of Moses, neither after him arose one like him.
Yeah, excellent. You're like going, okay, good job, guy, good job. Okay, and you see this here, that what an accolade that the Passover, which was a law that Yahweh had given to them, had obviously not been done or not been done correctly. And he brings it in, and I'll show you one other one here. Here is from Chronicles, okay, this is 2 Chronicles 35:17. So the sons of Israel who were present kept the Passover at that time and the festival of unleavened cakes 7 days. And there had not been kept a Passover like it in Israel since the days of Samuel the prophet. Yea, none of the kings of Israel had kept such a Passover as was kept by Josiah and the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I'm like going, golly, bravo, dude. Okay, that goes all the way back. You're like going, yay, I'm getting compared to this guy. Good. Yes, you're doing things right. That's perfect. Okay, let's flip over. You can keep I think we're coming back here, so you might throw a ribbon in this area. But we're going over to 2 Chronicles here real quick, and it is right before the book of Ezra. We're going to be on about page 468. And Aaron, would you read those for me there? chapter 35, verse 20 through 24. It's the top there, page 468.
After all this, when Josiah had prepared the house, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates. And Josiah went forth against him. But he sent unto him messengers, saying, what have I to do with thee, O king of Judah? Not against thee have I come this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. And Elohim hath given word to me to speed me. Cease thou from provoking Elohim who is with me, lest he destroy thee. Howbeit, Josiah turned not his face from him, for to fight against him he had disguised himself, and he hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of Elohim. So he came to fight in the valley of Megiddo, and the archers shot at King Josiah, And the king said unto the servant, take me away, for I am sore wounded. So the servants took him away out of the war chariot and conveyed him in a second chariot which he had and carried him to Jerusalem. And he died and was buried in the sepulchres of his fathers. And all Judah and Jerusalem were mourning over Josiah. And Jeremiah chanted a dirge over Josiah. And the singing men and the singing women and their dirges have spoken concerning Josiah until this day. And they appointed them by statute for Israel. And there they were written among the dirges.
That's it. And so this is kind of a tricky thing here that we're looking at. Because here's what took place. Now remember that there was a, under Hezekiah, there was a compact, if you will, with Pharaoh. Okay, different guy. And Yahweh told them that they were going to sit still, that they weren't going to help do anything. Now we're here, and we are with Josiah. And so with Josiah, when they're coming across, now here's what's taking place. Now, the Egyptians are transiting through their territory. Not against them. They're going to the Assyrians. Now remember, the Assyrians and Babylonians also waged war against each other and conquered each other. And the Assyrians were always bad guys. The Babylonians eventually would be where Yahweh would have favored for to control, to hold the house of Israel, to hold all those people. Okay, because of their wickedness, they became enslaved. And so what's happening is they're transiting through their land, and he comes out to him and says, I don't have anything against you. Okay, and he put himself in disguise, which again, there's not, I tried to do a lot of search on this to find, and I don't speculate what happened with this. Okay, except for the only thing I would say is this, is it does not appear anywhere that he went before Yahweh to get information on what he should do with this. Should I let them transit? Should we go to war? Should we do something else against it? But he stood against them. Okay, when they want to just come through and said, we're just passing through. Well, it's their land, for crying out loud. So where it faulted from that, the only thing that I would say is that it does not show anywhere where Josiah went before Yahweh to seek out information to find out what he was supposed to do. Okay? And so, again, it was the dirge that they were saying there that they're talking about there for Jeremiah chanted a dirge. This was the lamentation over that they sang songs over this because he was... how righteous he was for such a good guy for the things he did. Lessons from Josiah. He started cleaning up the mess after his father Amon and his Manasseh had made. The law was found to be read by Josiah, caused him to rend his clothes and inquire about it. Major, and this is, again, I think about that with the scribe. The scribe is an important guy, but he's kind of like, you know, off to the side. And this guy was the guy who read it and said, make announcement to bring this forward. Okay, Hilkiah gave it to him, said, hey, take this, and he read it because his heart was into it, and then pass this on, this has to go back up to him. And so a guy that's in the back of this is one of the guys who actually got this whole thing generated, get that flame started, and the blowing across that to get going. I'm like, so I'm like, okay, that guy's got a great recognition, he's got a name written into the book here for what he did, a major national purging, last righteous king until Yehoshua. This was it. This was the last dude. Everything else from there just went sour, just turned bad. Josiah did not inquire of Yahweh with the Pharaoh, going out to wage war against the Assyrians, disguised himself, and was inflicted to death. Okay? And then in 2 Kings 23:25, you don't have to go there, but this is where it sums up for him. And like him was no king before him who turned unto Yahweh with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to the law of Moses. Neither after him arose one like him. Okay? And so... flip over here to the second, we're 35 here, 25 through 27. I'm going to go ahead and read these here. Okay, so 25 here, this is Mourning Over Judah. Actually, we did read this, didn't we? No, we did. Okay. And Jerusalem, yeah, we did. Okay, we did. So all the way, I think we stopped in 27. Okay? So verse 27, 26, but the rest of the story of Josiah and his loving kindness, which is his ased, according to that which is written in the law of Yahweh, even his story, first and last, there it is written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. Okay? We kind of read most of those already. Okay? So that's it. What is done today? The last slide goofed up on me here. Okay? What is done today is the tomorrow. Okay? And that's it. And that's where you look at it. I'm thinking to myself, Josiah prolonged things that were coming. It would have happened if they would not have turned and cleaned up and done everything. So what we do?
28. You're gonna go, hey, We're about ready to the curses of Yahweh are coming.
Time to clean up right now. Okay, so let's go ahead and then we'll finish. Who would like to have a closing word, and then I will have a prophecy for anybody watching.
Father, we thank you for your lessons and for your word, and that as we look at the kings of Israel, which were wicked, and the kings of Judah, which some were very righteous, reminds me of the Democratic Party here in the United States and the Republican Party. We just thank you for helping us to reconcile each one of us according to your word as the standard to prepare ourselves, to cut out any idols, anything that separates us from you. And that when calamity or something does come, that we can be like Hezekiah and rent our clothes and our heart to turn to you to say, Father, is there anything else we can do? And we thank you that just as these acts were written down by you through your scribes, so will you write down the things about our lives. Our obedience will always matter. We thank you for helping us keep our hearts in the new heaven and new earth to come, being reminded that you see when we stick up for you. And if we won't stick up for you, how can we expect you to stick up for us? We thank you for these words.
My sons and daughters, you are standing by and calling upon me and expecting action from me. And I whisper unto you, for you must first humble yourselves and revere unto me, and come before me with questioning heart, and do not come to me as your last choice and your last option, that everything else you have tried has been exhausted. For this is the way of the world, and this is what you can expect when you fall upon your own understanding and lean upon yourself. For when you lean upon me, then it is then that I will do these things. And when you are at your weak point, it is then that I can make you strong. So this is a humbling that I am calling upon you to humble yourselves, and as you do these things, that you will find me. As you are reading my word and seeking me, that I will answer you and I will respond. And I have heard your cries and I have heard your supplications. Amen.